This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton coming to you live from the Columbia Marina outside Washington, D.C. This is 7-5 Radio. Check us out at 75radio.org. That's the number 75radio.org. We are red hot and rolling. I'm at the birthday party and Mother's Day celebration of our last week's guest, Lucia Estevez, who was the impromptu guest last week. Anyways, let's go around and say hello to everybody. Walt, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Doing fine.
Outstanding. Mike, how are we doing, sir?
Doing great, brother. Glad to be here. Looking forward to tonight.
Outstanding. Anyways, let's say hello to all of our special listeners, including the men and alleged women of the Onondaga, New York Fire Department, led by Little Billy Kieber. Also, say hello to all of New York's finest, New York's bravest, New York's boldest, New York's strongest, and those living on Long Island in the 2nd Congressional District. First order of business, as always, is to remember those murdered in the law enforcement community. Tonight, remember Special Deputy Sheriff Larry Henderson of the Hamilton County, Ohio Sheriff's Office. End of watch, May the 2nd, 2025. This killer, fortunately, is in custody. Anyways, we are celebrating Mother's Day, and we have a mama bear on the line. Her name is Allison Reedy. Her son was accused of something that he did not do, and her poor son and the entire family's life was turned upside down. Allison, good evening. How are we doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Our pleasure. Anyways, take it away. Tell us what's been going on with your family for the past couple of years.
Yeah, so I'm here to share what happened to our 14-year-old son. And we are just fighting for justice, not just for him, but for every family who's ever felt powerless against the system. Last year, our son was falsely accused of making a school threat, despite multiple written statements from witnesses clearing his name. They went ahead and arrested him, prosecuted him, and expelled him in a biased hearing from school. And this happened in 2021, so if you can think of the political, hostile nature that we were in. So it wasn't just a misunderstanding. The state prosecutor knowingly misinterpreted our son's words, twisted them into something criminal, even though the school had documentation that supported his innocence. And they just basically railroaded our son. So we're suing the police department, the school district, the state prosecutor for violating his rights. This case isn't just about clearing his name. It's about holding these adults accountable for abusing their power and traumatizing our child in the process. You know, no parent should have to sit helpless while the system crushes their kid for something they didn't do. We want the truth out there, and we want change, and that's why we're here, not just to seek justice, but to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else's child.
Right. So, Allison, what did your son do that he got expelled and got charges brought upon him?
Yeah, so my son, he was 14 years old. He was in math class at the Huron High School in New Boston, Michigan, and he was just joking around with a friend. They were having, you know, 14-year-old back and forth. They were just playing around. And the kid named Thomas, he said, "Don't be like the Oxford school shooter." And my son said, "I'm not going to be like, shut up, or I'm going to shoot the school up." Like, he basically said a hypothetical of what he would not do. And the teacher, she was 15 feet away. She overheard the last part of it. She brought my son out in the hallway and said, "What did you say?" He told her what he said. And she said that context did not matter, and that she was going to have to report it to the administration. So when she reported it to the administration, this is when it got corrupt. I had been complaining about assignments already. I complained about a gender poster in the science class where there was more than two genders. And I'd also complained about the mask mandates because it's a 0.5 micron. It was getting through any cute little mask you could put on your face. And my son had eczema, so the fiberglass masks were not suitable for him. So they already knew who I was when they had my son in this situation. And they basically just railroaded him. They fabricated this narrative. They put this false fear out in the community. They never had the school on lockdown. And my son was arrested for domestic terrorism. And he was handcuffed, basically ripped out of my arms. Basically, when they called me, they said, you need to come to the school and get your son. He's in big trouble. So I rushed down to the school and I wait in the lobby for about an hour and a half. And I keep asking to see my son and they keep telling me that we're not ready for you yet. And that happened three different times. We're not ready for you yet. Because obviously I'm like, I want to see my son now. So finally they bring me back into a room and it's just the principal, the vice principal and the liaison officer. And they tell me that my son just threatened to shoot up the school during a verbal altercation with another student. And I said, my son is a straight student. He's never been in trouble in his life. And that's when the principal said, Ethan Crumbly, the Oxford school shooter, was a straight A student as well. So she basically just compared my son to a school shooter. So it just kind of shows you the mindset that they had at the time. And all the while, this kid, Thomas, is like, that's not what happened. You know, he wrote his statement and he said, Dylan said he would not shoot a school up. So they basically just ignored exculpatory evidence and they pushed and fabricated this. It was all over the media. Our family ended up moving because of the harassment and just not feeling safe in this area. And basically we fought. Let me get to the part where I'm in the office and I have my son's backpack and I start going through it. And I find an assignment where the teacher was teaching that Christians worship Allah. And when I later on talked to my son about this assignment, he told me that the teacher was playing a song and had the kids fill in blanks. So it's just like a form of brainwashing. So, it's been a battle. He was found not guilty a year later. The state prosecutor tried to get us to take plea deals. They wanted him to plead for disorderly conduct. And I said, my son was not naked my son was not drunk in the street naked. We're not doing that. And then they came back a couple weeks before trial and said, all right, well, we'll dismiss the case if he writes a letter that says he's sorry. So I went to my son and I said, this is what they want you to do. And he said, they should be writing me a letter. My son was expelled in a bias hearing. I got our witness there and I was threatened that I'm officially under criminal investigation because I called this kid Thomas's mother to get him to the expulsion hearing. So, he was there. They didn't call on him. None of the school board had any statements. They just basically went off of what the superintendent, Donovan Rowe, said that they were going to do. Because we actually were told the day before our hearing that they made up their mind, he's getting expelled. So that's completely against due process. We didn't have a fair hearing for him. Witnesses weren't called, and he never should have been expelled. He never made a school threat. I'm about $26,000 fighting this thing. He was found not guilty. And, I have this group, it's called My Son on the Altar. It's on Facebook and it has all of the evidence and documents of what I'm saying, because we have our court transcript. I paid $500 for that. And you could just hear the judge as, we're going through the trial. He's disgusted. He's appalled. He looks at Thomas and he's like, wait a second, you guys weren't even fighting? He's like, no, we were just joking around. And he never said what they're saying that he said. So, the judge was even like, saw right through it and ended up finding him not guilty, thank God. we filed a lawsuit in 2023, and that was just terminated, and everybody received government immunity. And I basically got $5,000 more together, and I got another lawyer, and we filed an appeal, and that's where we are right now. We're in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Our brief is due Monday, and we're going to see if they're going to turn it over.
All right, Allison, we're coming to our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish what's going on, and we'll ask some questions. Stay tuned, everybody.
Okay.
This is 705 Radio on the Libby News Radio Network. Take away, boys.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication to excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at freewatercoinco.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting done staring at Tanilla's Instagram account. Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. I am live at Columbia Marina outside Washington, D.C. for a birthday party of Lucia Estevez. Anyways, we have Allison ready on the line with Walter and Mike. Allison, go ahead. Finish your final thoughts, and I'll pass it over to Walt and Mike.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, I'm just trying to hold the state prosecutor accountable. I'm trying to hold the school district accountable, and I'm trying to hold the police department accountable because what they did to my son is egregious, and definitely gross negligence played a role. Not to mention child abuse to put a child through something like this. You know, my son was in jail. He was being threatened in jail. I can't wait to get a piece of that white meat. I mean, the 14 years that I protected his innocence was stripped away from him in an instant.
Wow. So, anyway. Well, you got any questions for our guest?
Yes, of course. Good evening, and this is Walter.
Hi, Walter.
As you know, as a parent, my son is 26 now. When he went through the school system here, which is totally alien to me, so I graduated high school in 75. So the common day from whenever he started school, 2004 or 5, totally alien to me, and I couldn't believe how my son was treated when he was in kindergarten. And I'm going to give you a quick example, not to take away from your story. He cut the back of his finger, cut the back of his middle finger, and at his mom's house. And on the way to school the next day, he showed it to me. And of course, guess how he showed it to me, you know? So I get a call later in the day, and I told him, I said, don't do that. I told him, I said, don't do that. Just hold your hand like this. And I showed him how to hold his hand, you know, palm down, you know, with all the fingers open. And I got a call from the school later on that day, and from the principal. And this principal said he's been shooting a bird. Now, okay, I'm stupid sometimes. You know, shooting a bird. What do you mean he's shooting a bird? You know, I'm thinking BB gun and stuff like that. And he said, no, he's giving this everybody the finger today. And I'm like, why would my son be giving the finger today? Why? I says, oh, call him in here. Calls him in. I says, exactly. Schultz, I think her name was. Show her the cut on the back of your finger, like you showed Daddy this morning. And he gave it a finger. So I said, what's wrong with you people? You know, what's wrong with you people? I said, you twist everything around to make it so GD dramatic. So, you know, in your case, if it had been investigated by somebody with brains and let you know right off the bat, I mean, you know, right away, if the school calls my house and says my son's in big trouble, I'm calling a lawyer. Okay, especially these days, which I never had to.
Definitely looking back, I wish I would have done things differently.
But you see, they don't tell you that when they're looking at you, they're not your friends. Not that they were your friends before, but they weren't your enemies before. But now you got the principal, the vice principal in there, the police officer. All supposed to be your friends. It's supposed to be a safe place for your kids to go to school. That's a safe place. It's supposed to be. Okay. Now, if you poop in the wind and the officer smells it, he's going to say you smell weed. So you cannot take what anyone, and this can include law enforcement, when you're under supervision. When you're under scrutiny, best thing to do, and I know cat's out of the bag already, is keep your mouth shut. But in your case, they did not go over your life.
I definitely told them, moving forward, if anything ever were to happen, you don't say anything until I get there. Because we ended up moving and going to a different school, so I definitely told them that.
Yeah.
But this was very intentional. This was very targeted. You know, they did have the investigation and they chose to ignore the evidence and to push a narrative that wasn't there. They were
and,
really,
you know,
looking...
not to cut you off. You have people thank you for saying that. You have people that are either instituted into administration, elected to administration, appointed by administration, take a test to get into administration. And as I see it in the 21st century, it's nothing but an ego trip for most of them. And they want to be the one that has their 15 minutes of fame. Say, we could have stopped. This kid could have. We didn't know that he wouldn't, but he could have, because this is how we determined or we interpreted what he said. And once somebody interprets what your son in this case said, he gets gaslighted. It's like a telephone game. It goes from not so bad to absolutely disrespectful, right up to, you know, like you said, Terrorist Act, American Terrorism Act. So, you know, I understand. And the system does not allow for you to defend yourself and take action to prosecute the people that have persecuted you. You have to learn that on your own, and it costs dollars, as you said.
Oh,
I mean, you talked about 26 grand,
aware.
5 grand. Yeah, and I'm blown away that there is really no recourse for the typical middle-class person that pays their taxes all their lives, raises families, spends probably $2 million in their lifetime in the area they live for, you know, their own support, to support their own family, you know, over a 30, 40 year period. And there's no absolute recourse in legal action. So,
no,
you know,
I
commend you for
family, and
yeah.
I was going to fight for my son's rights. I was going to make sure mm-hmm. that I did everything that I could within my power to fight for him. He was mm-hmm. innocent.
And all the people that you went to closed the door in your face because they don't work. They work for you because you pay their salaries, but they don't work for you. They're not there to help you. They're there to help the entire community, not just one person, as I've been told in the past. And you have to do all the footwork. You will wear out shoes. You will wear out phones. You will wear out people's ears trying to get to a solution on just how to begin this process, you know.
Yeah, no,
civilly.
And it shouldn't be like that. You know, you have state yeah. representatives going and getting MS-13 gang members and, you know, coddling to them. Nobody was knocking on my door, coddling to my innocent 14-year-old son. Matter of fact, when my son was found not guilty, there wasn't a single media outlet that said, you know, gave a follow-up, nothing. It was crickets. So, you know, I'm a realtor and I just, mm-hmm. you know, I have a great reputation. I've been a realtor for almost 11 years. And when you Google my name now, you know, I have this stain on my name, and that's not cool. That's not fair. You know, right. and they need to pay for it.
Okay, Mike.
Hey, I have a question, Ms. Reedy. When
yeah.
your son was spoken to by these officers, when they took your son, did they speak to him without you present?
They did. Yeah,
okay,
they interrogated
they
my son for an hour and a half while I waited in the lobby.
So, I mean, that's a very, very egregious violation of his rights. You can't question a juvenile regarding anything without parents being present or parental consent. So, I mean, that might just be one avenue to take with this that you can use to kind of, you know, hold them accountable for their actions. But just to
yeah,
me, that
we have
seems
a
like...
really good lawyer now. Unfortunately, our first civil lawyer, he was terrible, and he never submitted the court transcripts from the criminal trial into the civil lawsuit. So that's another thing we're fighting for in appeals. And I asked him, and I have screenshots of his response. He says, yes, I've submitted it. I asked him if he submitted the assignment where they were teaching that Christians worship Allah. He said he submitted
right.
it. None of it was submitted.
Of course not. Of course not.
So, and I'm just a client. How am I supposed to see what's being submitted on my case? You know, but
right.
I gave this battle over to the Lord a long time ago. And, you know, he's going to make sure that things are done right. And I have faith in that. And I'm just going to keep on fighting until I feel that I can't fight anymore.
Absolutely. I'm sorry you're going through this. It seems like it's just another example of the lawfare going on right now in this country where you have activists and ideologues termed bureaucrats just trying to, you know, destroy anything and everyone that's opposed to their sick, backwards beliefs.
Yeah,
know,
it's definitely not everyone. I think you hit it on the nail on the head when you said opposing beliefs. You know, I have always been an adamant Trump supporter, and I've been very boisterous about that. And I do believe that this was targeting. I believe that had we been, you know, Democrats or, you know, liberals, I don't think that they would have tried to stick it to us as hard as they did. The detective himself, I heard he was an atheist. So now you've got this mom during this investigation who's turning in this assignment and complaining that, you know, it says Christians worship Allah. That's basically what part of the assignment said. And I think that was motive for them to do what they did as well.
And what if it had been reversed, right? What if they had put in there that, you know, Muslims are worshiping God or
exactly.
something to do with the Lord's Prayer? It'd be, you know, they'd be crucifying people.
Exactly. No, there's definitely an agenda in our school system. And, you know, they're trying to twist and confuse things so that, you know, kids don't have the full idea of what Christianity is. And, you know,
right.
just like this assignment, it was made to confuse.
Right. Allison, I hate to stop you short, but anyways, we're coming on a break. Real quick, tell us where they can reach out to you.
Yep. So my name is Allison Reedy. I'm on Facebook, and it's My Son on the Altar.
All right. We'll be right back.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Honeycombing America this Mother's Day weekend, U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson says Americans that he meets are enthusiastic about President Trump's accomplishments so far in his second term in the White House. Johnson, a Louisiana Republican, appeared on the Salem News program this week on Capitol Hill with Tony Perkins during a fundraising visit to Houston, Texas.
This president accomplished more in 100 days than most presidents do in an entire tenure. They've done the calculations, and they calculated that President Trump has slowed the growth of our national debt by 92% already just by making policy changes, a flurry of executive orders, and we're codifying those, and they're in a steady process of doing so. And we're going to continue this. Making America great again turns out not just to be a slogan. It's actually what we're doing, and people are excited about that.
Speaker Johnson's entire interview on this week on Capitol Hill is being broadcast today on radio stations nationwide and also on the Salem News Channel. Also at townhall.com, President Trump says not all countries will get as good a trade deal as the one Britain negotiated with the United States. Here's Greg Clugston.
The new trade deal with Britain will cut tariffs on UK cars from more than 27% to 10%. And the president says the baseline 10% tariff for the UK will not be a template for future trade deals with other nations.
That's a low number. They made a good deal. Some will be much higher because they have massive trade surpluses.
The president said the UK agreement is the first of many more trade deals to come with U.S. trading partners. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Well, the Trump administration has fired the Librarian of Congress. Carla Hayden was the first woman and first black to serve as Librarian of Congress. Democrats say it was politically motivated. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Living with everyday pain is like having a voice that always says, no, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't play your favorite sport. You better sit this one out. It's no way to live. If pain is affecting you, see how Relief Factor can help you get back to living life again on your terms. One where you say yes a whole lot more. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors and scientists, Relief Factor's unique formula of natural ingredients doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it for good. Whether it's your back, neck, your joints, your muscles, Relief Factor can help you, as it has for so many others. Give Relief Factor's three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, a low-cost way for you to sort of take it out for a test drive. Less than a dollar a day. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how you could live with less pain, and you can say yes to more of everything you want with Relief Factor.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop staying with Walter Yerku and Mike Reitbrand. I am at the birthday party at Lucia Estevez at the Columbia Marina, and the house band is belting out the War Pig. Meanwhile, we're playing The Hole in the Sky by the same band. Anyways, this next story is definitely 7-5 Radio related. This is breaking news from 58 years ago. I was watching the Monterey Pop Festival on YouTube, which, as you all know, I love old rock and roll. That's why I play these wonderful bumpers that you hear in between segments. And the Byrds was playing, and David Crosby comes out and said that he had information on the Kennedy assassination. He said that Kennedy was shot by more than one person with different calibers of rifles. And I was like, how in the name of God does he know about this in 1967? Because there's no internet back then. There's no news stories. Everybody believed that Lee Harvey Oswald did the deed. But just absolutely shocking. So I told Walter, I said, Walt, I want to talk about this thing that David Crosby knew back in 1967. And Walter, what did you tell me?
I told you to get him on the show.
You said get his musical partner Stephen Stills on the show. So
yeah, well,
because
that's it.
Yeah, because you thought that David Crosby might have told Stephen Stills his thoughts on the Kennedy assassination. So get him on the show. So Mike, what did I tell you?
Get him on the show. So we're looking for him. We're trying to get tracked on his publicist to get him on the show.
So, yep, anyways, we're trying to track down Stephen Stills on the show, not because of his musical career from Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills, Nash, solo work, working with people like Jimi Hendrix, but we want to ask about something that David Crosby said 58 years ago that he might have related to him. But anyways, that is 7-5 Radio in a nutshell, and I couldn't be more proud of Walter for coming up with the idea, and I couldn't be more proud of Mike for actually trying to follow through, but... Anyways, Mike, what's your thoughts on David Crosby having this knowing about Kennedy before anybody else?
Well, I mean, you had people even at that time that didn't necessarily believe the narrative they were being given. It was questioned at the time, like maybe not right immediately in the immediate aftermath, but in the weeks and months after, there were people, including the Louisiana prosecutor, that went after it and tried to prosecute a case based on the conspiracy of it. You know, you had the movie come out about it. JFK came out about that whole prosecution. I mean, there was some definitely rumblings there, but it is kind of interesting that this guy who's, you know, he didn't have the access to information we do, like the internet, things like that, and still came up with this information. So it just shows you how much that even then people were kind of like not buying the narrative that they're being fed.
Right. Well, what say you about Crosby knowing that Kennedy wasn't killed by Lee Harvey Oswald by a single bullet from it?
I want to know how big the blunt was he was smoking with when he decided to talk about this, you know, with all those matches, you know, all those matches being lit back down and, you know, in the 1960s, you know, to light all them bongs and all them blunts. I don't know if he even stuck them for gunshots, who knows?
Right. Well, what'd you tell me if we got Stephen Stills on the show? What song did you want Stephen Stills to perform?
I thought it was Some of Reese. So, you know.
Yeah, you want to see Stills?
I smoked one or two blunts in my day too, and forgot all about it. He didn't do that, so who knows?
Yep, yep. Walter wanted Stephen Stills to perform a song by another act, Stills and Cross. Summer Breeze was done by Stills and Cross, not Stephen Stills or Crosby, Stills and Nash. But anyways, we will do our due diligence. Somebody's trying to rob a car. God Almighty! First, is the house band? That was a stupid alarm. This is 7-5 Radio. So, anyways, we are trying to get Stephen Stills. That's not a joke. We, you know, Mike knows everybody. Oh, good. The alarm stopped. Mike knows everybody, so we're trying to book Stephen Stills. So, anyways, back to reality. Some good news in Texas. The governor signed a law giving vouchers to parents of Texas school children. Now, we just had Allison Reedy on, and me, I'm dealing with the
school district in Northern Virginia, which is absolutely abominable. These childless lesbians that run the school board, they want nothing to do with the parents. So I think it's absolutely great that parents in Texas will be able to send their kids to private schools, or if they have a good public school, send them to public schools. So, but I foresee that the teachers union and the ACLU and everybody else will be taking the state of Texas into court. What's the deal? Is it a good idea that parents get school vouchers to send their kids to private schools?
Well, we're talking about Governor Hot Wheels, right?
Governor who?
Hot Wheels.
Oh yeah.
Yep. You know, of course it is. You know, any positive thing in the right direction is good. Been going backwards for too long, and you know, these baby steps, people, you know, they'll gain traction. Pardon the pun. Like the governor, but he's done the right thing. You know, it's a good start, and that's pretty much all it is. A good start. You know, we still have to push forward. Still have to push forward and do more.
Right. Mike, do you think ACLU and the teachers union and every other leftist pinko commie in Texas are going to try to derail the student vouchers in Texas?
Absolutely. Listen, it's a direct attack on their power, on their hold on that system. So giving the school voucher puts the power back in the parents' hands. So the money will follow the child. It'll take the money out of the public schools and put it back in the parents' hands. Yeah, that's the last thing that they want. Those unions want to keep those teachers and themselves in power and the school boards in power. They're absolutely going to go after it because they don't want parents being in charge. They want to be in charge. They've proven it time and time again that they want to be able to be the ones to decide everything for your child. You know, so I think they're absolutely going to go crazy. They're going to try and sue for it. And I think, but at the end of the day, I think that Texas is going to win. The governor's going to win. And we're going to see a return to actual, you know, governance where parents are making the decisions for their children, not some, you know, unelected bureaucrat.
Right. Hopefully, and now, right, hopefully in Virginia that happens here, because I spoke to Governor Youngkin a couple years ago at a campaign rally. I said, Governor, my kids go to public schools in Northern Virginia. They got these LGBTQ flags. They got this other foolishness. Nothing's being done. So, and Governor Youngkin says, hey, we got legislations we're putting through the House of Delegates. And hopefully it passes, which he did, and it did not pass, of course. But anyways, I hope this law in Texas for school vouchers become the law of the land. But good on Texas, because they get things right, whereas California gets things dead wrong. But anyways, moving to some more good news, PBS and NPR are no longer receiving federal funding. This is music to my ears as both as a taxpayer and as a personality in the thing we call media. Donald Trump is sick and tired of giving money, tax money, our money, to these leftist pinko commie America-hating organizations in the name of media. Because years ago, back in the 60s, when David Crosby was talking about Kennedy, PBS and NPR was formed so people living in rural areas could have access to information. But as time went on with the advent of better, stronger television signals, cable TV, the internet, cellular signals, you know, you can be out in the middle of the sticks and still watch adult movies on your smartphone. But anyways, and of course, everybody's up in arms about this because no more no more tax money going to the Democrat machine. But I'm just happy about that. So now we have more a level playing field, because the thing about NPR is that they don't have commercials. They don't have ratings. They answer to nobody. So now the playing field's more level. One thing about PBS is that they have crap programming that nobody watches. But every time there's an interesting program, especially a concert, they always have fundraisers. They'll have fundraisers for great programming for that, you know, we're interested in. But as soon as that fundraising is over, guess what? It's back to the crap television that nobody watches. But anyways, well, is it, you know, if it's constitutional that we give money to PBS and NPR, is that in the Constitution that we should have a state-run media?
Yeah, you know, Doge opened up a can of worms that the Democrats did not want opened. Didn't want a can opener in this can in the same room. And it opened. You know, we have this PBS thing, getting money. And, you know, Harvard, which really grabbed my gullet last week, $2.2 billion that goes to Harvard. And it's supposed to be for research and stuff. And, okay, you know, all that money that they've spent on research within the Harvard University, what are their results? Nothing.
All right.
Which I have
all right, hold
that
thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back celebrating Mother's Day. Stay tuned, everybody. This is Certified Radio.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Once again, I am at the birthday party of Lucia Estevez. We got tons of fans. I got two fans right here. Well, one of them is our field producer, Ed Huebner, and his friend, Will. And anyways, during those commercial breaks, I was looking at the wonderful Instagram account of our spokesmodel, Danella Rodriguez. You need to follow her at DanellaRodriguez.model. I mean, I already picked out this week's archive picture. I mean, good grief. Well, I'll keep on that since this is a family show. But anyways, real quick, Monday, those who live in the DMV, all of our listeners, all of our fans, all of our family members, the DC gang, you need to go to this event on Monday the 12th, the day after Mother's Day. The She Exists magazine cover reveal. You're going to have a fashion show. We got many people from 7-5, well, the 7-5 gang. I know Alessandra Griff will be there. A bunch of other people will be going there. Unfortunately, I can't work because they got we're short of people down at the glue factory, so I cannot make it, even though I begged, borrowed, and pleaded to go. So, but anyways, go to She Exists on Facebook, but get yourself a ticket. Ms. Janelle Harris couldn't be any nicer. She understands us. She's like, wow, you guys are different. And I said, yeah, we are, and we're proud of that. But hopefully I get some pictures to get a report from somebody that's been there.
But I won't be there because somebody's got to work the at the glue factory. But anyways, finally, we want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. The first mothers of radio, Heather Powers McBride and the lovely Danella Rodriguez, as well as all of our mothers, all of you fine mothers. Thank you for everything. You made us who we are today. And those who lost contact with mom for whatever reason, you know, for the love of God, go out and call mom and tell mom that you love her, because she's not going to be around forever. And some of us know that already. My mother, she's not doing well. I'm expecting a phone call, but, you know, I hopefully the last thing I said to my mom was, I love you. So anyways, but thanks to all the mothers who raised your, do a good job of raising your kids, doing the right thing for your kids, making your kids who they are today. Also, kudos to Danella for being a great mother, not only to her kids, but to me. Last year at I was going to a St. Patrick's Day party, and my hair was out of place, and she stopped and fixed it. I was like, all right, thanks, Danny. So anyways, Mike, what say you about Mother's Day?
It's a great day to celebrate your mom. Listen, you wouldn't be where you are in the world today without your mother. All right, it takes your mom and your dad, but tomorrow's special for the mom. So make sure you get out and say happy Mother's Day to all those amazing moms out there, and especially to your own mom.
Right. And Walter, what say you? I know your mom is up in heaven looking down, smiling. What say you about Mother's Day?
You know, did all of what Mike just said to all the moms out there. You know, keep up the good work, you know, with your kids, especially our guest tonight, Allison. She's standing by her son 100%. That's what moms do. So us kids need to appreciate what moms do for us. And the only way to do that is to speak to them, talk to them, visit them, call them, you know, something. Don't be like Scoop and go to the nursing home and just bring denture grip.
Denture grip. But you brought up a good point. Allison is a great mother. You know, she sacrificed so much to clear her son's name, you know, set her son in the right direction. You can tell she's a good mother. And, you know, and back to yours truly, when I was getting married all them years ago to the wrong woman, one of the best times I had was sitting with my mom. Just they had a little videography going on of all of our baby pictures or whatever, and just had a great time just sitting next to my mom. And I said, hey, you know, you're a mom, and dad's mom is looking down smiling, and just a great, great feeling. That's why, you know, we call each other family on the show, because family is just so important. You know, even though I, you know, most of my family still with us, still support me, whatever, I talk to them all the time. Just the family here in D.C., even though none of them have my last name, they're just so important, including Ed and Will, our cheering section for 75 Radio here at the Lucia's party. Anyways, we got a couple minutes left. Anybody got anything else they want to say?
No, I'm good. I'm good. How about you, Mike?
Mike, hurt the mic.
Yep, sorry about that. Everyone's got mute on. Yeah, I just want to reiterate, like, happy Mother's Day to my mom, to my wife, who's an amazing mom, to my ex-wife, you know, who is also a great mom. We didn't get along, but that was on us, not the kids, and she was an amazing mom to them. So just all the moms out there, it's a really special day, and I'm really thankful for it. I'm thankful for the moms out there. And Allison really absolutely is a perfect example. She stood up for her son. She fought for him. She's absolutely right, and she's kicking butt. It's awesome to see. You know, it's really just great.
Right, and that's good to hear. But anyways, well, we got a couple minutes left. Check out 75radio.org. Last week, Stephen Miller, who is the deputy chief of staff, I believe, with the Trump administration, he absolutely eviscerated the media talking about the so-called man from Maryland. And he mentioned a young lady who's 14 years old, raped and murdered by these two savages who shouldn't be here in the first place. And Miller said to the media sitting in the White House press room, like, we will offer a free house. You don't have to pay any taxes, any property, no taxes, no nothing to the house. We'll give you a free house, but your neighbors are going to be a bunch of gangbangers from MS-13, Trinidad, or Wagwa,
Mexican mafia, and none of you would take it. And the media just sat there, did nothing, because he knew that they were right. And I just love the fact that Stephen Miller and then Caroline Leavitt are just absolutely eviscerating the media, because it's not – because finally somebody's stepping up in the media. And it's like Miller, Leavitt, everybody else, you know, they're fighting the media on our behalf. It's not like, okay, they're trying to defend Trump or, you know, cover up something. No, they're going full bore against the media, because they are enemies of America. I was arguing with a gentleman last week, and I told him, I said, you know what, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but my personal opinion, I feel Republicans are traitors. No, correction. Republicans are sellouts and Democrats are traitor. And this old Bolshevik was flipping his wig. He's like, you call me a traitor? I said, no, I call Democrats a traitor. So anyways, he was yelling and screaming at me, and I just kept my cool. But any thoughts on the great job that the White House press office is doing for Americans, for people like us? Anybody?
You know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. You know,
keep your helmet. Right. So
you piss people off, you know, you're doing your job.
Exactly. And of course, we're pissing people off all the time. We're pissing off the right people. We're pissing off the people who just love to sell this country, who hate this country, who just like vote Democrat down the line. The Democrats can never do no wrong. Kamala Harris is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and Donald Trump is worse than Hitler. And anyways, but speaking of which, people saying, oh, Donald Trump is Hitler, this, that, and the other thing. But don't they realize that his grandchildren are Jewish, and one of his daughters converted to Judaism to marry the son-in-law? But anyways, I digress. But finally, we got a new pope, a Yankee pope. And what really struck me was that Donald Trump went on Truth with a picture of himself dressed up as a pope, and everybody, of course, flipped their wig. I could give a rat's ass. But do you think there's any divine intervention between Trump saying, like, you know, mocking, like, hey, they're going to call me pope, and then we got a pope from Chicago?
We'll see. I don't know if there's a relationship between Pope Leo now, 14th, and Donald Trump. I hope there will be. So, you know, again, only time will tell. Only time will tell. And, you know, Trump being a Christian, and being from New York, you know, they both came from big cities. So, and they're both, you know, pretty close in age. Donald Trump's got, what, 9 years on him, 8, 9 years on him. So they're from the same time. They're from old school. So hopefully there could be some type of bonding, you know, and they could speak and talk about this nonsense in the Ukraine and Russia and Hamas and all that crap. Hopefully they can iron this stuff out.
Right. Mike, you got any dirt on the new pope?
I mean, it's still new, right? We'll see where he comes off. I mean, I know he's been kind of anti-Trump on the social media in the past about certain policy things, but I guess we'll see how it plays out. We'll see what he brings to the table and how he kind of tries to steer the church and where it goes from here. You know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see where he goes. I just hope he's not woke like the last one.
Right. Anyways, with that being said, this is Peter Scoop standing with Mike Great-Grant and Walter Yerke. Reminding you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.